World News Today, brought to you by Admiral Corporation, world's largest manufacturer of radio phonographs with automatic record changers. This program is presented in behalf of Admiral dealers all over America. By shortwave broadcast in our own country, CBS reporters are waiting to bring you first-hand news from the world's political and battlefronts. Now, here's Douglas Edwards.
The German army continues its retreat across the Rhine today, blowing big bridges across the river to prevent Allied armies from crossing after the enemy troops. But American and Canadian troops are moving quickly toward bridges still standing, and the German radio a few minutes ago said the Americans are bringing up rubber boats northwest of Dusseldorf, apparently intending to cross the Rhine as speedily as possible. 1,000 American heavy bombers, 500 fighter planes were over Germany in daylight today, despite bad weather, attacking marshaling yards and industrial plants. The Royal Air Force also took a hand in the daytime bombing. Its target was a communications town near Gelsenkirchen. For the first time in 9 months, German planes have bombed and strafed sections of England. The Germans say the Russians have broken through German defenses in a drive flanking Stettin on the northeast, and that one Soviet column is 13 miles from the Baltic coast farther east. B-29s have bombed Tokyo again in very great strength, and on Iwo Jima, the Marines have almost split the Japs on the northern end of the island. And now we hear from one of Columbia's correspondents in the field. Admiral takes you to Supreme Headquarters in Paris, Charles Collingwood reporting.
The German front before the Rhine is cracking fast. The First Army, or rather armored elements of it, have broken out of their bridgehead across the Erft and cut their way to the Rhine north of Cologne. First Army infantry is closed to within 2.5 miles of the city. The Ninth Army has driven northeast 8 or 9 miles from Krefeld to reach Hamburg across the river from Duisburg. Troops of three armies are crowding up to the banks of the mighty river. The Germans have already lost 52,000 men as prisoners, and they're fighting now to get as much of the rest as they can across the river. The German rearguard action boils down to an attempt to hold on to the Rhine crossings. For the rest, it is chaos, with everything German trying to get across the river. As things stand this afternoon, about the only decent bridge the Germans have left is the one at Wesel, and that is exactly where their stiffest resistance is. Wesel is up in the north on the Canadian Army sector. Between there and Cologne, there is only one bridge left at Hamburg, across the river from Duisburg, and that is threatened by the 84th Division in Hamburg's outskirts. From there on down, the Germans have blown the bridge at Erdingen, the three bridges at Dusseldorf, and at Cologne itself, the only one left standing is the great Hohenzollern Bridge, and that has been pretty badly knocked about by our bombing. Of course, there are other ways to get across a river than by a bridge, but there aren't any as quick, and the Germans want to get across quick. How much they will get across, or to put it in reverse, how much we will capture, is a question it might be well to be pessimistic about. In the last 9 months, the Germans have developed to a fine art, the business of getting out of traps. And all the indications are that they will get most of their stuff out of this one. But even granting that, what is happening now before the Rhine is a disaster to German arms. This is Charles Collingwood in Paris, returning you to New York.
And now some news direct from the fighting field. For a direct report from the American Ninth Army front, Admiral takes you somewhere in Germany, Howard K. Smith reporting.
This is the American Ninth Army. The Battle of the Cologne Plain has turned into a rather large-scale mopping up of disorganized German forces on this side of the Rhine. If a week ago the situation could be characterized as a thin American bridgehead across the Ruhr, it is tonight a rapidly dwindling German bridgehead this side of the Rhine. The Nazi bridgehead is caught in the pincers of the Canadians driving down from the north, and this American army advancing upwards from the south. In the past 24 hours, the German bridgehead has been reduced by 9 miles on this end of the pincers alone. Today's push by the Ninth Army brings the Hamburg Bridge over the Rhine River under control of our artillery, and it leaves only two other Rhine bridges to the retreating Germans. One at Wesel in the Canadian sector, and the other down at Rheinberg in the American sector. Following these surging troops today has been a ticklish proposition. I've passed through frontline villages without a single American soldier in them. Sometimes it's hard to say to whom these towns belong. They've been neglected by everybody. There are no German troops around, and none of ours have showed up. The citizens, though, have taken it on themselves to surrender without being asked, hanging white flags from every roof in town. One place, the striped flag of the German Republic was being draped over the village church. In the farmyard, you see the hides and entrails of freshly slaughtered cattle, which the retreating Wehrmacht took with them. There are splintered German pockets scattered all over the fluid front. The other day, I was shot at four times by snipers. Yesterday, I lost my driver and my jeep. In a village near the Rhine, the driver went off to reconnoiter the neighborhood. He hasn't returned yet, and I've had to report him missing in action. This is Howard Smith returning you now to New York.
There'll be more news in just a moment. If you've wished for more oven room in your kitchen range, you'll be interested in Warren Sweeney's message about an electric range with two ovens.
The Admiral electric range will have two full-sized ovens. Think how grand it'll be on holidays or any day when you're preparing a really big dinner to have two ovens. Your turkey or roast could be cooking at the same time as your rolls and pastries. Admiral, from recent surveys, found that most housewives wanted a larger oven in their next electric range. So Admiral went one better, and you'll get two full-sized ovens. And only in the Admiral electric ranges will you get Flexo Heat. Flexo Heat is the Admiral feature that will make it so easy to get just the right amount of heat needed for any cooking operation. As easy, in fact, as turning on and off your water faucet. And it's going to be a case of love at first sight when you see the modern styling and distinctive beauty of Admiral electric ranges. So when Victory makes possible the production of civilian goods, see the various new models Admiral will offer. For the best in cookery, use electricity. For the best in electric cookery, choose an Admiral. Now here once again is Douglas Edwards.
The light heavy bombers, British and American, attacked Germany again today. For this news and other developments, Admiral takes you to CBS London. Larry Lesser reporting.
With one of the greatest Allied victories of the war being forged on the western banks of the Rhine, the Germans have countered with a new air offensive against England. We heard the familiar sound of the sirens in London last night, but it hasn't been much of an air offensive so far. Yet they were real planes, not robots, and six of them were shot down. The raid came as enough of a surprise to make propaganda for the Germans, a sign that the Germans are worrying about the morale on the home front as well as the morale of their troops. Britain knows enough about the effects of air warfare to realize that the unprecedented Allied air bombardment of Germany is shaking the grip of Nazi discipline in the Reich. Germany's disastrous military situation needs no emphasis. Where we fought for the city of Aachen street by street, the industrial cities of Krefeld, Neuss, and Mönchengladbach have fallen with little more than a push, a certain indication that the bulk of the German army is no longer morally fit to make each of these into a minor Stalingrad. London is now aware that in addition to all her other troubles, Germany is now suffering from an entirely new labor problem, in which a manpower shortage exists side by side with unemployment. You see, the great German comb out of men for the army has produced an acute shortage of skilled labor, but at the same time there are large numbers of unemployed in Germany, deprived of their jobs by the bombing of factories, shortage of raw material, and the lack of transport. The number of foreign workers in Germany has been estimated at 12 million. The Nazi theory has been that such a mass of more or less unfriendly workers was not dangerous if they could be kept under close supervision. Now that these foreigners are thrown out of work, they form a potential guerrilla force. Already reports have come from neutral